Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship on this eve of Epiphany 6, and a special welcome to guests and visitors. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. Hopefully you've already heard, but if you haven't, my sister Barb, a member of this congregation, she also served the last 2 years of her life battling cancer, but also serving as the council and church president. And so we're grateful for her service, and we grieve, but we grieve as those who have hope. And so I thank you for your prayers, your love that's been outpouring as our family goes through the grieving process and as we have committed her to Christ, her Savior, and our Lord. There will be a service, and the service will be on Friday, February 25th. It'll be in the Timothy Chapel at Autumn Ridge. February 25th, Friday at 11 a.m., Autumn Ridge Church, but in the Timothy Chapel. It's, as you know, Barb was a member here, but she also enjoyed worshiping on Sundays at Autumn Ridge, where she could get her contemporary worship flavor. And so she worshiped here and there, also at the Rochester Covenant Church. And so she was able to have Bible study groups and fellowship with people in a variety of churches in our community. So please keep that in mind. Also, today and tomorrow, people are leaving for the CMAC mission trip, which is down in Illinois, Gibson City. And Deb and Larry and them, they took off today to get things set up, and the rest of the team will be there tomorrow. So please keep that mission trip in your prayers during the next couple of weeks while they're there serving Christ. Men have a Bible study this coming Wednesday here in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. The other announcements are in your bulletin, and I encourage you to please take note of them as well. We rise as we are able. Our opening song, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Our scripture song, Word of God, come down. Be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the strength of all who put their trust in you. Because of the weakness of our human nature, we can do no good thing apart from you. Help us to keep your word, that we may receive the blessings you so freely give to those who love you. Make us like trees planted by flowing streams, that we would thrive in your love and keep your commandments all our days. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 1, and we will read it responsively. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither.
In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so,
but are like
chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. And Jesus came down with his disciples and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, the reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. The children's sermon has been posted online. It's actually the message from last week, and then I have another one that I'll be posting tomorrow for the week ahead as we celebrate what Paul is proclaiming and what Jesus is proclaiming, good news for the poor. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Blessings or woes? Promises or fear of being cursed? What is it that our texts speak to you about tonight? How is it that the word reveals itself in this season of Epiphany in your heart and in your soul? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Paul says, if you don't, then you're not a Christian. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting? Do you believe that Christ was raised from the dead? Blessings and woes. Who is the recipient of each? Did you notice that there are four blessings and there are four woes? That's the perfect number for the Jewish people, you know. North, south, east, and west. In other words, it covers the whole earth. The blessings and the woes. Are you like a tree planted by living waters, bearing fruit in its season? Or are we finding ourselves to be keeping company with the wicked and being like chaff that is just simply scattered and blown about by the wind? On a level plane, Jesus levels with us, and in the process, levels us. On a level plane, Jesus levels with us, and in the process, levels us. Good news? For whom? It was a number of years ago, and I was teaching a 10-week class on the New Testament to our ninth graders in Little Falls, Minnesota. We had longer and later confirmation, so every year I got to interact with the kids from grades 2 through grades 11 when they affirmed their baptismal faith. In ninth grade, 10 weeks, they studied the New Testament. And in the New Testament studies, we would talk about the four Gospels. And on this particular night that I'm remembering, there was in the class a discussion about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, the level plain, in the Gospel of Luke. And so we were talking about it, and I was trying to help the kids understand the differences between being spiritually poor and being physically, materially poor. Because there's a contrast of sorts between what Jesus says in Matthew and what he says in Luke. And so I had a white marker board. And on the white marker board, which is like this white screen behind me here, I drew a straight level line. And on that straight level line, I printed the words, a level plain. And then I took up in the upper, what is my right, but would be your left, corner, and I put the word rich. And down in the lower opposite corner, I put the word poor. And I said, now when Jesus is preaching in the Gospel of Luke, it's good news for whom? And they were kind of wondering about what I had drawn on the white marker board. And there was kind of a long pause, an awkward silence. And I said, let me help you out here. I said, here's what Luke is saying. This is Jesus' sermon. And I drew a line from the word rich down to the level plain. And then I drew a line from the word poor up to the level plain. I said, who is the good news for? And then a whole bunch of kids said at once, the poor. They get lifted up. The rich get brought down. I said, is it only good news for the poor? Or is it good news for everyone? And one of the girls, her father was a doctor. They lived in a nice home on the Mississippi River. She said, but that's not fair, Pastor Dave. It's not fair when they've worked so hard to get what they have. I said, really? I said, it's all about works, isn't it? It's all about getting what we're entitled to, isn't it? Jesus is preaching his sermon, and he says that the rich are going to be brought down and the poor are going to be lifted up on this level plain. That's good news for everyone. Unless we think that we're saved by our works and not by the grace of God. Unless we think that in heaven there should be different entitlements and that there should be some who get a whole lot and others who get very little based upon whatever premises we might have here on earth. It's good news for all to be on the level plane, because who's on the level plane? Jesus. Jesus is on the level plane, and we spend eternity with him. Or we don't spend eternity at all. Jesus' sermon. His sermon on a level plane. When he levels with us. And maybe, because you see, all of my confirmation kids knew that they were part of the haves. They were not part of the have-nots. That's what happens when we hear God's word. It lifts us up, it brings us down, so that we can be where Jesus is, on the level plain, where we know the love of Christ that is shed for us on a Good Friday cross. And as promised, he was raised on the third day. Blessings and curses. How would the audience, the congregation, the disciples 2,000 years ago, how would they have heard these words of Jesus? My guess is they would have said, can you say that again, Jesus? Because something doesn't sound right here. Because people were living 2,000 years ago at the time of Jesus under the assumption that if you had good health, you were being blessed by God. You were being rewarded for good behavior. If you had lots of wealth, if you had a position, a power, and influence, it was all because of your good works. It was all because of your entitlement. You were just simply reaping the good pleasure of God. And the assumption was if you were poor, if you were sick, it had to have been because you were being punished. You had done something wrong and God was getting your attention in a big way. How would they have heard Jesus' words when he said north, south, east, and west, blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed are you because the kingdom of God is yours right here, right now. Blessed are you who weep because you don't grieve as those who have no hope. You believe in the resurrection. Blessed are you. Even when people are reviling you and hating you, you know, they hated Jesus too. Blessed are you. Rejoice. Yours is the kingdom of God. But have you experienced it? I mean, Jesus is proclaiming a message that is experienced in daily life. That's what Luther meant when he said that baptism means that daily I die and rise with Christ in the waters of holy baptism. Through repentance, we are brought down. And through the grace of God, through the absolution, the forgiveness of sins, we are lifted up so that where Christ is, we might be there also. St. Paul wrote a letter, we call it 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 15, which is our epistle for tonight and for next week also, it almost seems out of place because it's about Easter, it's about the resurrection, but we soon discover that everything Paul has to say to the Corinthians must be read, seen, and heard through the ears of faith and through the eyes of the resurrection. In the Nicene Creed we say, we confess, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Actually, the resurrection of the dead. And then it says in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. So whichever creed we're doing, we're talking about the same promise. We're talking about resurrection. And evidently in Corinth, which was tolerating all kinds of sexual immorality, and there was all kinds of factions and division. There was the misappropriation of the Lord's Supper. It was lawsuits and litigation between fellow believers. It was an absolute mess. And now they were messing with the heart of the gospel, the truth of our salvation, the resurrection. If you read all 58 verses of chapter 15, then you get a picture of what Paul is proclaiming. He's not trying to prove the resurrection. That's already a fact. But he is proclaiming it, and he will show you the evidence, which is irrefutable and non-negotiable. If someone tells you that they're a Christian and they don't believe in the resurrection, they're a fake and a phony. You cannot be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits of those who fall asleep. Paul is befuddled. He can't understand how people could be so easily confused or misled or led astray. Paul says, don't you remember what I taught you? Don't you remember what's been proclaimed? I'm not making it up now. I'm telling you the same thing I've told you 100 times already. I deliver to you as of first importance what I already received myself, that Christ died, that he was buried, that on the third day he was raised, all in accordance with Scripture. This is all the fulfillment of Genesis through Revelation. Paul says, I'm not making this up as I go along. I'm not trying to please people and make everybody happy. I'm just telling you the truth. And then he says, let's connect the dots. That's what you see in our gospel for tonight. After Paul has already said to the Corinthians, you want eyewitnesses? What about Mary Magdalene? She thought he was the gardener, and then he spoke her name. What about Thomas putting his hands into the side of Jesus? What about Jesus appearing to Cephas, Peter, and also to the 12 apostles, and also to more than 500 people at the same time most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Paul says, connect the dots, and you'll see why this is irrefutable and non-negotiable. Connect the dots. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then you won't be raised from the dead. If you're not going to be raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. It's a huge joke, and the world can only laugh. If Christ has not been raised, you will not be raised, which means you are still in your sin. And the wages of sin is death. End of the story. You will perish. And the word perish means eternally separated from God. If in this life only we've hoped in Christ, then we are most to be pitied. I mean, Paul just lays it on the line. He's not sugarcoating it. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He levels with the Corinthians. And in the process of leveling with them, they get leveled. They get brought down and they got lifted up. And there was Jesus, who is the first fruit. The first fruit of those who fall asleep. Now, after Paul connects the dots and invites the Corinthians to do the same, an interesting thing happens. What happens is that people evidently were starting to ask, well, so if there is a resurrection, will I recognize people? Will they be the age when they died? So if they're a kid, or if they're a middle-aged, or they're old, will I recognize if somebody I love isn't there? I mean, we start to speculate about all these things, don't we? And Paul says, I'm not going to give you the details, because I don't have the details. Paul says, this is what we do know for sure, that Christ has been raised from the dead. That's a fact. That's the first fruit of those who fall asleep. This is what we do know. The perishable must put on the imperishable. The mortal must put on immortality. And that which is temporal, what we call bios, must put on the eternal, what the Bible calls zoe, eternal life. That is a given. That is a non-negotiable, and it's a fact, and the evidence is irrefutable. Well, like when? Paul says, when the last trumpet is sounded. When the last trumpet is sounded, then the dead in Christ will be raised. And the mortal will put on immortality, and the perishable will put on imperishability. And then shall come to pass what is written, because this is all the fulfillment of Scripture. Then shall come to pass what is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. How do we experience the resurrection in daily life? How is it that we put the resurrection into practice and proclamation? How is it that we die and rise in the waters of baptism? Jason, in 2010, Jason, who is a doctor in the emergency room, he's a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And so in 2010, when the massive earthquake struck Haiti, one of the poorest areas on the face of the world, he went down there and did a week of volunteer medical care. He said it was primitive medicine. We didn't have supplies. We didn't have facilities. We did the best we could. It was eye-awakening, he said. And then Jason said, one day in a hut that was filled with mud, I delivered two premature twins, the babies, and they both died. And I realized at that moment that if they had been born premature in any hospital in the United States, they would have survived. and the disparity was crushing. It was then that I learned I needed to reassess my priorities, and I needed to know what was important and what wasn't important in life. That experience for me, he said, was the resurrection. The dead are raised in Christ, and we practice that promise, that resurrection, in the here and now, in the present. Blessings and woes. Keeping fellowship with the wicked or company with the righteous. Perishing or being a part of God's kingdom for all eternity. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right here, right now. Let me tell you about Margaret. Margaret died 2 years ago. Her pastor, Pastor Dan Glaze, loved Margaret. I mean, as pastors, we love all of our friends and our parishioners, but you know, there's certain people over the course of years of ministry that you grow, I don't know, a special attachment to. And so Dan had a special attachment with Margaret, who died at the age of 101, 2 years ago. Pastor Dan said, Margaret is the kind of person that in her 90s, she would make a crank phone call to me, and then she'd start laughing. Or she'd come in right before church into my office, and she'd tell me a joke. It was a crude joke, one that I couldn't repeat in the pulpit. This is what happened. About 8 years ago, Pastor Dan said, Margaret's daughter had come to one of our Wednesday night church happenings, and she said, if you get a chance, could you go and see Mom? Our brother Douglas isn't doing well. Mom's thinking that he probably doesn't have much time. And right away, Pastor Dan said, I'll go see her right away tomorrow, for sure. Well, the next day came and went, the next day came and went, the next day came and went. And Pastor Dan said, I could have come up with excuses. I could have said, you know, I'm a busy person. I got a full plate. I can't remember everything. And besides, there are lots of people there on that Wednesday night, and they didn't write it down on a piece of paper. He said, I could have come up with 100 different excuses. But he said, the bottom line, the truth is this. I forgot. I just forgot. But Pastor Dan knew that he needed to make it right. So he went to see Margaret. Knocked on the door. She was sitting in her lazy boy. She said, come in. He did. He sat on the couch opposite her. And there was dead silence. For an awkward amount of time, there was dead silence. And then Margaret, with her red eyes, I mean, just at her cheeks, from all the crying she had done, just red. She looked at Dan and said, you were supposed to come and you didn't. You were supposed to because you promised. You said you'd be here and you didn't come. And Pastor Dan said, at that moment, I started crying and I started weeping. Because I knew that what she was saying was true. And then there was a pause, and Margaret said with a stern voice, Daniel, you come over here right now. And so he did. And he was prepared. He was prepared to get a spanking that he deserved. But with those bony little arms and hands, Margaret took Pastor Dan's face and then she brought him in close to her. And she looked at him in the eyes and she said, Daniel, I forgive you. Daniel, I forgive you. And you see, Daniel said, it was in that moment of grace and absolution that I believed in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Because of absolution. Because the poor are brought up and the rich are brought down. And they're on a level plane. It's when people level with us that, well, we get leveled. And for those who weep, there shall be laughter. Jesus laughed. Yes, Jesus wept. But Jesus also laughed. And he who was rich became poor for our sake, so that by his poverty, we too might become rich. Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing costs nothing. Promises nothing. And is absolutely empty and of no value. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Blessed are you in Christ Jesus, who is the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. Blessed are you. Yours is the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day, Blessed Are They.
Thank you.
In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you unto eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
And so tonight and in the days ahead, share the peace of Christ and his reconciling love with others. The blessing that you have been blessed with, share that with others. Congregation may be seated. We continue now with our prayers.
Let us draw near to the light of Christ, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, thank you for grafting us to Christ, the tree of life rich with abundant fruit. Thank you for immersing us in the streams of living water, the Spirit flowing from your Son's pierced side. Thank you for raising us to new life in him. May our lives delight in him, meditate on him day and night, and produce the sweet fruit of repentance and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we pray as you have commanded, for our enemies and for everyone hostile to your word. Soften their hearts and forgive their sins. Heal their souls and lead them to the foot of your Son's cross. Give us the grace to welcome them there as sisters and brothers, fellow debtors to your amazing grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide our earthly leaders in pathways of righteousness and integrity. Give them grace to delight in your law. Help them use their authority to benefit all people, especially the poor. Help us all to refrain from sowing seeds of discord and violence. Instead, let us share friendship, respect, and mercy with those who need them most. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring healing to the bodies, minds, hearts, and relationships of everyone burdened by sin, sickness, suffering, or sorrow. We pray for those we name.
Lord, we ask your mercy and blessings upon Joe and Daryl, Mary Jo, Sheldon, Amy, Melody. We pray your blessings, Lord, upon those who grieve the loss of Barb, but who are comforted by the promise of the resurrection. Lord, we pray for all who are battling COVID, all who are battling the sorrow of losing a loved one.
Cheer their spirits, renew their hope, and bless their loved ones and caregivers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Father, for the lives of all your faithful people who now are at rest in you. Thank you for their witness, example, and goodness towards us. Nourish us on our pilgrimage with your word. Refresh us with your spirit and guide us by your Son's cross. Keep us constant in faith toward you and in love for one another. Bring us, we pray, into the resurrection life he has won for all who love him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our King.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We rise as we are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our going forth song, Go My Children, with my blessing. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.